B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Don't feel like you have to make that spectacular pass down low where you feel like you have a little bit of a break going. Take your time. You know, slow it down for yourself. Control the pace of the game better.
And it seems like when J.J. Redick, he's at his best, the fewer dribbles he takes. When he's taking the handoff.
Definitely.
And the final, just like you said, they always show glimpses of greatness. Like, glimpses of greatness on offense, still a little inconsistent. But then on defense, they have these blown-up plays where all of a sudden it just looks like all five guys on the floor just go flat for a second.
Yeah, absolutely. Jason, I'm going to put you on hold, put you on the running. But, Bob, yeah, the turnovers, I mean, how do you correct that?
Well, it's Brett lends it to his style of play, and they've been like the worst team in turnovers every year he's been here, except one year they were the second worst team with turnovers. Like, he lends it to the style of play, the fast pace, all the passing they want to do. His term for offense is good to great. You have a good shot, make some more passes, it'll wind up great. Well, when you're making more passes, that's what happens. You leave yourself open to turnovers. I can almost live with some turnovers. I put the number 12, 13 is what I want come playoff time, but not the lazy one. Not the lazy passes, the look away, you know, okay, I'm just giving the ball up because it's not my turn to have it passes. I can't have that.
All right. The 9 o'clock hour now is brought to you by the Baxter Dumpster in a Bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. And you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. On the line with us right now, beat writer for ESPN.com covering the Giants. I don't know if he's still at the Giants practice facility or not, but Jordan Renan joins us right now. Good morning, Jordan.
Oh, I'm here. I was here nice and early. I think I left my house in the 5 o'clock hour. I'm getting a little taste of your life there.
Jordan, I got to ask you, this is the first question. I said this would be my first question to you, so here it is. What the hell are the Giants doing?
Yeah, that's a fair question, and I don't think there's a clear answer to it. What they're doing is this. This is what we know, right? They messed up last year and are now paying for the sins, right? That is the bottom line, because it was all set up for them to rebuild last year, to start it over, and if they wanted to move Odell, and that was included in it, last year was the time to do it, right? Before you sign him to the big deal, before you pay him $21.5 million for 1 year, before you take a $16 million dead money cap hit, that's the time to do it. When you have the number two pick, a new general manager, a new coach, a 37-year-old quarterback. I mean, do I need to keep going?
No. I think you got it. You also put it, you took a running back with the second overall pick, and now you're going to start the rebuild around him?
Yeah, it's a strange, strange concept. This team is in a bad spot because of last year. And now, I mean, look, there was problems beforehand, but they had the opportunity last year to try and start getting on the right track, and instead, they tried to forge ahead. They said, you know what, we could still compete for this division. And it was a total disaster. And now it's going to be a couple of years before they're able to clean it up.
Jordan,
without Odell.
Yeah, without Odell Beckham Jr. Now, you know Philadelphia very well. Now, we are enjoying this because we still see the Redskins, who paid Landon Collins just ridiculous money, as being a dumpster fire. We're looking at the Giants right now. They're not even a dumpster. They're just lighting themselves on fire right now. If you had to look at this from a Eagles perspective, would you look at this as almost as close as you could before a football game is even played? Eagles get 4 wins in this division already.
Mark, this is how you have to look at it if you're the Eagles. Look at the quarterback position of the other three teams in the division. This game is all about the quarterback.
Right.
One team is still rolling Eli Manning out. He's 38 years old and on the decline, and I'm probably being generous there. The Redskins, they're paying big money to a quarterback who may never play again in the NFL. Right? So they just got Case Keenum, okay? And then the Cowboys, and who's a believer? Who's a real believer in Dak Prescott being a premium top-notch quarterback?
I was a big fan of him coming out of Mississippi, but he has not really made me look smart.
The last 2 years have proved, and I was big on Dak. He played great in that playoff game a couple years ago. I thought he was going to be the real deal, and I think, look, you talk to people around the league, nobody's a believer in him, even his own teammates, I'm telling you. They know deep down he's not that good. So what a huge advantage for the Eagles right there. I mean, you're building around a franchise quarterback, a guy who should have won the MVP 2 years ago, and the rest of the organizations don't really have a quarterback.
Last thing I want to ask you about, just the Giants in themselves here, but who is running things up there? I mean, it seems like they're really buying into Pat Shurmur because he seemed to have a lot of issues with Odell last year.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big part of this decision. A big part of the decision to move on from Odell was that they bumped heads a bunch. And there was a couple incidents that went along. The interview with Justine Anderson and Little Wayne, that was probably ultimately the breaking point.
Yeah, that did it.
Okay, we need... You think so? Yeah. You think that was it?
Yeah, I think that did it.
Like, really, because what happened was Pat Shurmur came here and he said, okay, I have to make sure to forge that relationship with this guy. Like, that, I know that that's my job. I want him. He's so good. If I could just get that guy in my corner and me and him can have this great, nice, beautiful relationship, lovey-dovey relationship, I'll be good, right? Because we can ride this a long way because he's that good. And he'll make that offense good. He'll make quarterbacks good, look good. I mean, he's one of the best players in the league at that position for sure.
Gotcha.
And so he went out to California. He went out to Los Angeles. Pretty much not long after he came to specifically pretty much go out to dinner with Odell, trying to make that relationship. But then, you know what? By week five, it was gone. It was gone. And there was even a time in the preseason, they tried to get him on the field in the preseason. I think that was their first original mistake. Before he signed his deal, they were pushing him to get back. Remember, he's coming off a broken leg. And he didn't get paid yet.
Wow.
And they're pushing him to get back and play in the preseason. And that didn't sit well. Trust me, that didn't sit well. And that was pretty much the beginning of the end.
Jordan, is there any chance that the starting quarterback next year for the Giants could be that number three pick? Or would it just be a final year of Eli and let that third pick grow?
Yeah, they have a sixth pick.
Six, yeah.
Look, anything is on the board, I think. A trade up is a possibility. I don't think Josh Rosen is something I would completely rule out, something I'll probably look into at this point. But the likelihood is that Eli Manning is going to be the starting quarterback next year, or this year, sorry.
Right.
I mean, that's just what it is. And you have to just sort of chuckle and be like, 2 years ago, you know, we do these lists every year, these top 25 players under the age of 25.
Right.
And I remember for multiple years, I mean, the Giants were in good shape. They had Landry Collins and they had Odell Beckham. Like, they were near the top of the list. And Eli Manning has somehow managed to outlast both of them.
That is the line.
Two years ago, if I told you that, you would have laughed. You would have laughed and called me an idiot. And that's what happened here. It's unbelievable that in the 2 years since then, when the Giants were 11-5, Ben McAdoo is the coach, by the way. He's gone. off an 11-5. He's gone. Beckham's gone. And Landon Collins is gone. It's just that's not the way you want to be doing business.
Wow. How is Pat Shurmur being received by the players?
Two of the guys they just shipped out, Olivier Vernon and Odell, were two of the guys he butted heads with. So there's obviously been some incidents now. He got put into a tough locker room, and that was part of the deal. And that was part of their intent, was to try and clean up that locker room. So I think some of that is expected. But right now, they've pretty much cleaned out the locker room to the degree that most of these are young guys who are unproven in the league in the locker room. So he's trying to develop his culture. He's trying to build those relationships with guys. But he's going to have a lot of new work to do because – getting rid of Landon Collins and getting rid of Odell you have to realize, how do you think that's perceived as an ex-player, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're a player. You're in that locker room. Landon Collins made 3 Pro Bowls in 4 years, was drafted by the organization, did everything they asked him to do, played at a high level, was named the team captain last year, and they never went to him and made a long-term offer. Mm. So, you know, that's a, you know, that guys start looking around at that point. And I've had guys tell me this, and I'm not making this up, you know, and I wrote something about it. Like, they're like, why am I going to go the extra way for the organization if, you know, that might be me in a couple of years. So these are things that the Giants and Pat Shurmur are going to have to deal with now. So he's going to have a tough job.
All right. Jordan Round, ESPN.com. Two things from me here. Does that mean that Saquon could want his way out, and would he be on the trade market at all?
Yeah, I would be. I don't think so.
Okay.
The Giants are going to – it's hard enough for this organization, which is very concerned about optics and reputation, to absorb what they're going to handle right now. I don't think they could – I don't think John Mara would be able to – I don't think his heart would be able to handle then moving, you know, their other – blue chip marketing piece and just superstar that they know that they have in Saquon. So, yeah, and he's not going to ask out. He's a really good kid.
Okay,
I shouldn't say kid. Really good young man.
Gotcha.
And you know, he's going to do his best for the organization, and I can't see him giving them a hard time in any way, shape, or form.
And was there ever a kicking of the tires with Nick Foles?
Not really. They were going to roll back Eli. I mean, it never seemed to be a huge doubt around here. So I know it's hard to comprehend, but you also look at what else is going on. This is what I tell people. They're like, would the Giants do this? And I'm like, nah, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. But I have to throw this caveat out there. They're pretty much operating like a bad organization right now. So anything is on the table.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how it's worked for the better part of, I don't know, 6 years now.
Wow. Well, we'll just enjoy it from Philadelphia from now, I guess, the next couple of years, as you put it. Jordan Renaud, ESPN.com, we appreciate you calling in. Let us know everything about the Giants and what's going on up there right now.
You got it, guys. You guys sent me down here. Ever since I've been down here, I think it's like 6 out of 7 losing seasons. So.
That's right.
Thank you.
You guys stay there. We're going to never come back to Philadelphia, all right?
My man, Jordan, we'd love to have you back, my friend. Good talking to you.
All right, thanks.
All right, take it easy. You too, man. Jordan Renaud, ESPN.com.
I love the way you introduced Jordan. Well, yeah, you probably didn't even know that you did it, but you do it with a chuckle. You're like, so now we're going to talk to George, the beat writer of the Giants. Well, guess what? I went through that for 4 years.
That's
when
right.
When I would do radio shows all over the country and people would laugh saying, the beat writer of the 76ers. You know, like, I know how Jordan feels, and God bless him.
Wow. I can't. Now, I've known Jordan for a while, man.
Yeah, yeah, good dude.
Yeah, he was in the Philly market for a long time, and
that's tough.
You have a guy that, look, two vantage points. One, the main thing, you have one of the best wide receivers, in my opinion, the best wide receiver in football, in Odell Beckham Jr., right? Now he's not there anymore. Not only did you have that as a guy to help you win, as a writer, a media member, you also had a guy that would give you a story. Mm. And even if he wasn't giving you a story, there was some kind of story revolving around him that maybe didn't come from him, but at least it was revolving around him. You had that to cover as well. Now that guy's gone. Now you have Pat Shurmur, who, as we know very well in Philadelphia, isn't exactly the most, he doesn't come across as the most passionate man, but it took Odell Beckham Jr. to get under that man's skin.
He is literally the definition of milquetoast.
Yeah.
Pat Shurmur.
Yes. Yeah. And Odell was the guy that brought it out of him.
Oh, he got him fired up.
That's it. Yeah. Finito. Not going to pound flesh about this anymore.
Yeah, but Trey's right. I think the interview with Lil Wayne.
Yeah, that did it.
That might have been the end.
Yeah.
Straw, camel's back, straw.
I remember listening to that being like, my lord, he's saying this as a current teammate? Like, jeez.
Yeah, that did it.
That was the end of that.
Yeah, that was it.
All right, now, I promised this earlier. I wanted to get
into
it.
It's like slapping the cookie out of the president's or owner's hand.
Right.
Yeah.
That
emotional intelligence.
Did we, I wanted to get into this with Brett Brown. Talking about not being able to get to the foul line, we've been talking some football here. I want to spin it back a little bit to the Sixers here. But Brett Brown had an issue. We played JoJo telling you that he thought his own game was trash. Well, when you don't have any free throws in the first half of the game.
I was trash.
That's JoJo on his game last night. And then Brett Brown comes out last night after the game and talks about not being able to get to the free throw line in the first half of play and how that really affects his own team's mindset and what he reads from that as a head coach.
I think anytime I see zero free throws, I go straight to a mentality and I hate it. You know, I don't like it. I think when you come in at halftime and you have 14 turnovers and zero free throws, you know, that's not a good offensive statistic. That's not a good sign, obviously. And I think that the lack of free throws for me is always about a mentality. And we did a better job in the second half, but the first half was poor.
Like we were saying earlier, the guy that I usually look at for this, as we all do, is Ben Simmons, because that's a criticism you'll throw his way, saying that maybe late in the game he doesn't want to go to the line. He doesn't want to risk driving the paint, getting fouled, and then having to go to the line. But as Bob, you mentioned a minute ago, in the six games in March right now, I believe he has 78 free throw percentage?
25 for 32.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, he looks better, too. That elbow isn't swinging out the way it was. He looks more confident there, and that's the growth that they were hoping to get.
He's actually working on his game. Go figure, an athlete doing that. And that's what Ben Simmons is doing. That's what the great athletes do. It's great to see that maturation and improvement from Ben Simmons. It's also great, as we played for you the other day, it was good to hear Ben Simmons talk about wanting to stay here in Philadelphia for a long time and win championships. TJ in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good morning, TJ. What's going on?
Good morning. Last week I was in D.C. laughing about Bryce Harper, and yesterday I'm in New York. Oh. And then all I get to do is go, ha, 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 ha.
Can you make
it? You guys should all chip in and get me a ticket to L.A. and maybe they'll ship LeBron here for the rest of the season or something.
Actually, I was gonna suggest we ship you till Milwaukee for a couple days and then maybe Toronto, maybe Kawhi,
yeah, right?
And then maybe Giannis Antetokounmpo leave.
You get a green there you go. I've been in Toronto 3 times and it's the worst city I've ever been in my life.
The worst?
The place I want to go back to. I hated it. I thought all the people were rude. It's like they knew that I was American right away, and they shunned me away. And I was in Montreal this year, and I actually had a good time there where people said it would be the opposite. So I don't know. I guess it's the legal weed there that's making everybody happy. Americans got to catch on.
Yeah!
Anyway, look, I respect your guys' opinion. And I know, look, I'm just a dumb idiot that drives all day, that's a sports fan, that knows nothing about coaching, okay?
Okay.
And I know you guys don't think that Brett Brown's a bad coach, and I do. And just let me give you examples why.
Okay.
When Joel Embiid shoots a three-pointer with under 2 minutes to go, and it's a 29% chance that something good's going to work out from that, doesn't the coach eventually say to Embiid, hey, Joe, I need you to stop taking the shot at the end of the game? And maybe he does. But then does Joe just say, you know what, Brett, screw you, I run the Sixers, and I'm going to continue to do that shot. And right there, that's one example, and that is such a bad possession with 2 minutes left. And if the coach does not get in Embiid's face and say something to him about that, then that is not good. And listen, and I respect your opinion, so I want you to tell me, why is he not a bad coach, and what does he excel at coaching? Because from what I see as a dumb fat idiot that drives all day and loves sports radio.
Oh, don't you talk down yourself, TJ.
I don't talk down to myself. I love myself. I don't love myself.
Gosh darn it, I love myself.
So please tell me why you guys think that he is a decent coach or a good coach, and what does he excel at? And that's all I have to say. And guys, you are an awesome chemistry. I love you guys at that. I listen all day. I'm out of town. I'm listening on the app. You're doing a hell of a job. I hope we keep it together here at 97.5, and I'll keep calling, guys. Have a great day and a good rest of your week.
Well, thank you, TJ. TJ, thanks, man. Things have been going well for us, so I don't think you got to worry about that. I appreciate that, brother. But with JoJo first and foremost and the relationship with Brett Brown and why I think he's a good coach, JoJo's shot last night, when it came to that three-pointer, just in retrospect, I thought it was actually later in the game. There was one early that didn't bother me, and then there was one with about 3:30-ish to go. That one bothered me.
Yeah, that was the one that was inside 2 minutes.
There was a situation where I think Brett does have to have that conversation of like, look, this isn't your shot right now.
Yeah.
This isn't what we need. I love that it's part of your game, but when we're trying to make a push against a terrible team and we're trying to build a lead, I don't need you in a 3-point game. I'm just looking at it right now. With 3:38 left in the game, I don't. Yeah. Okay. It was 1:40. There was three threes attempted.
Right. There was another one.
Brett, come on!
Yeah, I tweeted at the time. I was like, Joel Embiid threes with under 2 minutes to go in a game literally make my blood boil, because if I see one of those in the playoffs in a tight game when, look, he shoots 30% from three career, with his field goal percentage and capability to get to the line in a tight situation, that's close to a 70% shot if he's down low.
All right,
compared to 30%. Come on.
It was a 2-point game at the time that he shot the last three with the one you're referencing, Trey. That is a situation where I think Brett needs to pull him aside and say, not here, not now.
Were they up or down?
Time and place.
They were up by 2 points.
They were up by two. And okay. Luckily, Mike Scott bailed them out with the three because the Cavs took the lead shortly thereafter, and then Mike Scott got it back.
Now, again, the question was, he asked us a blanket question, why I think Brett Brown's actually a good coach and why I don't think he should be fired. I don't think he should be fired because I've seen guys like Ben Simmons start to develop that free throw, start to take that jump shot, start to get better at an overall game. Turnovers can still be an issue for him, or at least it's becoming a part that's inconsistent in Ben Simmons' game. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen guys like TJ McConnell go from that fringe NBA player, does he even deserve to be in the league, to a guy that becomes a spark off the bench for you.
Yeah.
To a guy that, as the story came out a couple of years ago, LeBron James apparently wanted on the Cleveland Cavaliers when he was trying to win championships. You've seen guys like even way back when with, Nerlens Noel actually develop some semblance of an offensive game under Brett Brown. Mm. And not to mention the fact that this guy's going to win back-to-back 50-win seasons. That hasn't been done since the 80s. Yeah, I do think the guy's an okay coach. That's why I think he's good. But yes, that's not to say that he's great. I don't know if he's a great coach yet. He hasn't shown me that he's great. He hasn't had that deep run in the playoffs. He hasn't beaten Brad Stevens yet. That's what I need to see for him to be a great coach that will solidify a long period of time here in Philadelphia of winning. Not just being here for a long time, but a long period of time where they win. He hasn't proven that to me yet. Do I think it's in there? It could be. I don't know for sure yet because I haven't seen it. We won't know until we see it. I still think it's a legit possibility for Brett Brown to be that guy, though.
Yeah, and so much of why they like him, why the 76ers like him, why they hired him is off the court things, too. The way he kept this organization together when they were going through the process, growing guys that eventually helped, having Joel Embiid and Ben, basically Joel Embiid, stay interested when you were going through this. That was one of probably the hardest things that Brett had to do during this time because Joel Embiid lost interest. He got off his diet. He stopped working out. He got thrown off of the road trip the one time we were there. You know, so a lot of it is off the court stuff. Well, now you have a semblance of a team. Now it's the on the court stuff where your focus really goes to Brett Brown. And yeah, it annoys some people. The turnovers, the late game execution, giving up the leads. Those are all legitimate. But like you said, also, You're going to talk about at the end of this year before the playoffs start, a guy that's won over 50 games for 2 years, a guy who won a round of a playoff game, lost another one, no question. I think your real test or your judgment on Brett has to really come after the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I think that's what most logically thinking people are going to be thinking about as the playoffs approach.
Yeah,
it's like, look. We know with this talent, you should be able to win in the regular season. Mm-hmm. With this talent, this year in particular, you should be able to get 50 wins. The real test is going to come against those other teams, the upper echelon teams, which, by the way, you have struggled against all year long. Mm-hmm. And something else I'll say that's actually in favor.
Sunday is going to be a big one. Bucks.
Bucks are playing the Bucks on Sunday. Yeah, they got the Kings and they got the Bucks. The other thing is, towards the end of games, in his early goings with the Sixers, he would call timeout in close games and try to set up a play. He got away from that after a handful of games because he realized he didn't have that guy that could be your closer in a game. Mm-hmm. And he decided this is the best part. And look, I thought this from the get-go. You can't call timeout and try to set up a play with these guys. The only way they can try to score is in transition. That's really all they can do. He recognized that, and he made the adjustment. Now, with a guy like Jimmy Butler, I'd like to see him in close games get control of that basketball a little bit later and try to break guys down off the dribble.
Or Tobias
Harris at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, a little bit of not a lull, I want to call it, but 13 points last night. But
he was off.
No, he took 12 shots last night, I believe. 12 or 13 in 39 minutes. I don't like that.
12 for 5 and behind the three-point line. That was tough.
And real quick to the caller's original point. Joel Embiid in fourth quarter, according to the splits on basketballreference.com, Andrew Salchunas dug this up. Only a 27% three-point shooter.
Who was that? I'm sorry.
Embiid. Late in games, fourth quarter, three-point field goal percentage, 27%.
You know, you just
That's
reminded
about
me.
As low of a percentage shot as you can get.
This,
in the NBA.
This was interesting. So I took this. They posted this on the broadcast last night during the game on NBC. Offensive rating of the Sixers starting five?
Yeah.
they average 114 points. The 76ers starting lineup.
It's pretty good.
Defensive rating 90. So they're outscoring teams to what, 24 points?
Oh, yeah. It's just when that bench comes in and they give it right back.
That's what worries you just a little bit here. 610-632-0975. We will talk to Chris, talk some Sixers and some more football coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Coming up, we'll let you hear from DeSean Jackson, who landed last night. As Brett Brown said, landed the plane. They landed the plane last night. John Clark able to catch up with him. Talk to him about it. What's that?
John Clark was able to catch up to him at the airport?
Damn right.
Wow.
Maybe DeSean has lost a step if John can catch up to him.
Oh, no. John's caught pretty much everybody.
I haven't made a pun in this since the 6 o'clock hour, so there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Ken in Plainfield, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ken?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
All right.
Hey, I'm from Cleveland, and great that we got Odell. Okay, but I have a trade, you guys, for you guys. Since we got Kareem Hunt, how about Duke Johnson for one of those second-round picks you guys?
Kareem Hunt for a second rounder for the Eagles? From the Eagles?
No. Duke Johnson. Since Cleveland has Kareem Hunt.
Oh.
Duke Johnson has been mentioned for availability.
Yeah, so the only thing is, and we talked about this earlier, Kareem Hunt, you don't know when he's going to be available yet in terms of the exempt list, for the commissioner's exempt list, so we're not so sure that they're going to be willing to trade Duke Johnson. The other part of that is that if you're looking at one of your 2 second-round picks, you're also going to be trading him for a guy who's going to be 26 years old early in the season. I don't think you're going to trade a second-round pick for that. I think you might go lower. I don't think the Eagles have a third-round pick. I think they have a first, two seconds, and a couple fourths, but I'll double-check it.
Yeah, but with Nick Chubb, okay, that's why we still got Nick Chubb. So Duke is still, you know, he didn't get much carries last year.
No, he didn't. No, I would love to get Duke Johnson. I'm just saying, I don't know if it's going to be one of your second-round picks. I don't know if this price tag is going to be that high.
Yeah, well, you guys need a running back. And
I would love to get him. To answer your question, I want Duke Johnson, yes, I want Duke Johnson.
Okay, man.
All right, man, I'm going to put you on hold. You're in the running for our Sixers tickets. You like Duke Johnson, Trey?
Yeah, but they're talking about Kareem Hunt. Is that case solved yet?
No, that's the thing. That's what they might be waiting for to trade Duke Johnson.
Yeah, let him go,
He's on the commissioner's exempt list.
Yeah. But I like Duke Johnson,
I'd love to have him here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, like I said, he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He doesn't do an absurd amount of catching or catching. Actually, he's a guy that can really bring that aspect to you. Yeah. Like he's not like Brian Westbrook type, but he definitely has that gear to his game. He has that arsenal in his game, if you will. Rob in South Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yo, Rob.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
All right.
Hey, guys. Just 2 points. First, I am a Giants fan. I was born and raised, and man, I don't understand.
That's all you need really to say, Rob.
I woke up this morning, I got my coffee, turned on ESPN, and it's just right in my face. Like, for what? What did we get? We didn't.
I'm sorry.
I don't know
Rob,
what we're doing,
I wish I could say I'm sorry and mean it. I can only say I'm sorry,
right, man.
And
I'll tell you what. I moved to South Jersey. The Eagles fans, you guys are rough, but man, I love it. Eagles football is exciting to watch. I always like it. But yeah, man. What the heck, dude? Come on, man. Like, what are we doing?
What would you do if Saquon's traded in the next couple of days?
Yeah, that was the point, though, that I thought was the only reason, maybe because. Odell never took losing, well, and they lost a lot last year. And he was getting toxic in the locker room. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he was messing with Saquon. Maybe they saw it rubbing off on Saquon. They didn't want it affecting Saquon's play.
We all think that it's the interview he did with Lil Wayne. What's your feeling on that?
Could be that too. I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, it is what it is. It's a business. And no, it's not even.
Rob, you're struggling, brother.
Yeah, man. And I have one point on it on Simmons, real quick.
Yeah,
because I think when I see him shooting free throws, he doesn't use his legs at all, man.
No.
His legs are stiff; they don't bend, they don't move. I think he gets his legs involved a little more. I mean, he's improved recently, but I think he'll get better. I think that'll develop a shot.
Yeah, it's like, and Rob, thanks for the. Are you a Sixers fan or are you a Knicks fan?
I am a Sixers fan.
All right. I'm going to put you in the running for the Sixers tickets then, man. You hold right there. I'll try to brighten your day a little bit. But with Ben Simmons, he's gone through good spurts over this year of foul shooting. I mean, you've tracked it, Bob.
Yeah.
But if you look at what he was able to do in December and January and February, he had maybe 5-6 straight games of good free throws, and then he would still end up for the month still shooting 58-63% at best. Like, I still have yet to see it for an entire month. Maybe March is the month he does it. Maybe this is the month that he will solidify his free throws for an entire month. But if he can do that, I mean, you're talking about a guy who last night goes 6-for-8 from the foul line. He gets you 26 points. If he can be that type of guy to consistently get to the foul line, maybe even get greedy and get you a couple of N1s and make that free throw, you're looking at a guy that can maybe get that average up for, what is he at now, 15, 16 points a game? Maybe you get that up to 20 points a game if he's able to add that dimension to his game. I love the ideas, Bobby said. He's moving the elbow in. Maybe the next step is getting the legs involved in the shot.
Yeah, NBA players, a lot of it's because they're just so big. They don't use those legs when they're shooting foul shots because their release point is already way out. But yeah, I was always taught, you know, you look at the really good foul shooters. You come through the toes, up through the legs, and then, you know, the release point's there. That is part of the problem. He does look awfully stiff. It is all arms. And when you're not sure of what hand to shoot with, which, you know, has been Ben's problem throughout his life, why not use the rest of your body to help that one deficiency?
Did they just tell him when he started his NBA career?
Not NBA career. No, this was back, you know, years ago, high school or something. They're like, no, shoot with the other hand. This one? Yeah.
One. Yeah, the one that doesn't make the L.
Use your other face, the one that didn't get broken that time.
Yeah, right. Ben Simmons, by the way, right now at 17 points per game, which is not too shabby, but still want to see that getting up just a little bit more. But I just want to see those dimensions get added to his game, because a game like last night, you'll be able to see a lot more consistency. 26 points is great for Ben Simmons. Like, not exactly. Like, it goes, what, 10 rebounds, 8 assists last night. I think he was 2 assists shy of a triple-double for himself, which is great to see, like I had said throughout the morning. Probably the most consistent player from start to finish in last night's game. JoJo, inconsistent, consistently rebounding with 19, but a guy that kind of disappeared for a little bit. And I think when he was referencing the trash play, he was talking about disappearing for a little bit in the game and then having 6 turnovers. I think those are the two big things that stuck out in Joel's mind. And you want that to be the case. You want him to be focusing on the negative, because his good is great. When he does well, he does great. The things that he has done in his game that last night that bother you are, all of a sudden, he didn't seem like he was part of the game anymore. And then, again, the turnovers.
Yeah.
Late in the game, though, is when he came on.
And turnovers for a guy who Brett Brown labeled as a C as far as conditioning goes, who, you know, Joel himself said he's not feeling very good shape-wise yet because he missed all that time. Turnovers are expected. But some of them are just, it doesn't matter whether you're tired or not. Some of these turnovers that this team is making are just, they're head scratching, and you can't have that going into playoffs.
A nice little surprise, and I know this is a small thing, but it's a nice thing nonetheless. The bell ringer last night was James Ennis. Got the start for the Sixers last night.
Really?
He was the bell ringer.
Yeah, talking to Brett before the game, he must have labeled it at some time the tournament between James Ennis and Jonathan Simmons as to who's going to get that rotational role.
A1.
Come playoff time.
Sharpie.
He said last night that Ennis was ahead, and that's why he's in the starting lineup. And he didn't hurt himself last night.
I don't like Jonathan Simmons.
You went like Mike Kern on it. I don't like him.
I think he's got cement feet. I'm not a fan of seeing him on the court. Look, he's been here briefly, and he traded Markelle Fultz, right? He got a number. He got a first round pick as well. But what I have seen in the very early stages of his 76ers career, I've been not impressed.
Yeah. So you got Scott Ennis, T.J. McConnell. And then Bobby. Probably Bobby.
Yes.
Who looked okay again last night. You know, if you're going to go 35 to 40 minutes with Joel Embiid, maybe Brett's thinking matchups don't matter. Bobby's going to be my 10, 13 minute a night guy.
Maybe, and especially with the playoffs right around the corner. Right. That'd probably be the case. I also like the idea, this came up last night, Serena Winters talked about this, that a couple days ago, Brett put 15 on the board in the locker room and said, you know, this is what we got left to figure this out. And it's probably going to be less than that, as you've mentioned, Bob, without Joel Embiid and some load management and maybe even J.J. Redick and Jimmy Butler sitting out last night. That's a very interesting thing there. You talk about a guy that you might want to call upon to be a bigger motivator for some of these players. I know that's a criticism that Brett has with some fans there, that he doesn't motivate enough. You got to put it in front of some players sometimes. I think that was an attempt to motivate him. Look, this isn't just about me trying to make this work with all of you. You all have to make it work as well. Like, I don't know what that does for a player trade, just to see the number and have it there as motivation. I know there is such thing as bulletin board material. The Eagles proved that with the underdog stuff a year ago.
Yeah.
But with Brett just putting that number in front of those guys, that's got to make you focus.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know that this is the amount of games. I mean, you only have 14 now games left to kind of pull it all together and get ready for the run.
Yeah, you didn't see that kind of focus in the second and third quarter last night. You certainly saw it in the last couple of minutes when they knew it was time to get serious with JoJo. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll let you hear from Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. At least they were lighthearted after last night's win. Time at the Fanatic, 941.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Coming up, we're going to give you our final on the Twitter poll. Also give you our takeaways of the day as per usual. But I wanted you to hear this. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, having a little fun. It was a frustrating game to watch. It was a frustrating game to watch, was it not?
Yes, it was.
Very frustrating. I mean, you should be taking it to a team like the Cleveland Cavaliers. They didn't necessarily do that. They did that coming out of the gate in the first quarter. Second quarter, third quarter. Come on, man. Where's the rest of it? Fourth quarter.
That's what she said.
Actually.
Well played, sir.
Nice. They're looking pretty good. And then the final couple of minutes, they finally take control of everything there. Now, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, after the game, they had a little bit of a chuckle fest.
Where do you think your conditioning is from where it was before you sat out?
Percentage. What's that? 69.
Well,
this is talking about the dribble handoff game, two-man game with JJ. Is that the hardest to nail down in terms of...
Yeah, now hold on one second.
Last question, bro. Last question. Yeah, what's the question?
Last
question for
you. Jamie, what was happening at the end there?
It was great. So Simmons goats him into saying 69 by saying, give him a percentage. Joel takes it, hook, line, and sinker, like we all love him for, and then Ben Simmons starts chuckling, he face palms himself, and he's laughing under his hand, and then he just gets up to leave, and that's when the next question's happening, and Joel goes, well, where are you going?
Why are you leaving me?
and he doesn't, he's a great comedian, because he doesn't break. Like, he stayed the straight guy, and Ben Simmons was the guy chuckling like Jimmy Fallon. It was hilarious.
Listener of the show, I was talking to a little bit ago, and they were talking about how they were out and about, and they ran into Joel Embiid, and they tried to take a picture.
Oh, he doesn't do pictures with men.
Well, this is a woman.
Oh, okay.
And she was like, can you take a picture with me and my son?
Because I know people that have, like, dudes at a bar that have seen him and gone up to him, and he's like, nah.
No dudes, bro.
Yeah, basically.
And he's got...
That's solid.
Yeah.
It's an interesting rule.
No.
Like, we all have our rules. Trey has to be on the left.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I hate when dudes, like, put their arm around me. Like, that's kind of weird.
So, JoJo is standing with this woman, and she's like, I wanted to take a picture with me and my son. And he's like, yeah, sure. So he takes the picture, and then she looks at it, and he's not smiling. He just does the stone face
look. Yeah, yeah.
And she goes, oh, you're not smiling. He's like,
yeah, I don't smile.
I don't smile.
I don't smile.
He just does pictures with women and children.
I gotta tell you, I just don't smile.
But yeah, and that's just his face. But it's a guy that's very jovial. And
oh,
you would
great.
Expect the little smile from the guy. Not the case. Joe in Chester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Morning, Joe.
Morning, fellas.
Hey.
Good morning.
Hey, let's get this all right, man. Come on, let's get E-A-G-A-E-S.
How does it feel? The season hasn't even started, and between the Redskins and the Giants, you're 4-0 already, Joe.
Hey, man, I got a picture, though, man. That was like Cole Beasley. He's our killer. He's the one that always opens on third down. I'm loving this right now.
Right, man. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm on my way back to PA now, and I'm like ecstatic.
You sound flat out giddy, Joe.
Yeah, this has been awesome, y'all. I've been following people on Facebook, people are sending me and blocking me and everything.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. You're the happiest person in Chester right now.
Yeah, when I get back, I will be.
That a fella.
Hey, but I don't see no reason why we should win our division by at least 2-3 games this year, period.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's that easy, my friend. I'm hoping it's that easy.
The Giants quarterback is 100 years old. The Redskins got no quarterback. And the Cowboys, come on, it's Dallas.
Yeah, they paid a lot of money to Landon Collins. Joe, you're the happiest person I think I've ever spoken to.
And Joe, you're the best.
Landon Collins, he can't
cover
nobody.
Joe, hold on. Joe, forget about football for a second. What's the secret to happiness?
Hey, man, I mean, I come down Virginia every 2 weeks, take my mom to chemo. She got stage 4 cancer, and she's doing good. Now I mean, she's feeling good. I had going back a little bit and everything, so I'm happy. I'm good.
Joe, there are so many people that would wallow and feel sorry for themselves, but you approach it with a happy, I'm sorry about your mom, but you're approaching it with the right attitude.
Yeah, she smiled, I got to smile.
Yeah, man, you know what, Joe? God bless you, brother. I'm going to put you in the running for some Sixers tickets, all right, buddy?
Thank you.
Right. Listen to that, man. Good for you, Joe.
Go, Joe.
Sam, go ahead and give us our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation.
Today we asked, would you have done the deal for Le'Veon Bell? 4 years max, $61 million, $35 million guaranteed. We had just under 3,700 votes today. 65% say no.
Why? What is wrong with people, Sam?
I think they're just bitter because it didn't happen. They would be more optimistic if it didn't happen yet.
That could be what it is. Did any good responses from people, or are they just all voting no?
It's a little ridiculous. Dockside Donkey Show tweeted in and said, Le'Veon Bell, more like Le'Veon Smell. We'll find someone else. That was my
That's a great name. Let's get into our takeaways of the day right now. Sam Wilson, what do you have for us as your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is happy 26th anniversary to Bob and Donna Cooney.
Oh, listen to that, Bobby. Your lovely bride of 26 nice years.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
That was nice to you, Sam.
I'm always nice.
Jimmy Lynch, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway of the day is, the anniversary is nice, Bob. Congrats on that. But
that was the sincerity of a turd.
That was the least sincere thing you've ever said.
That's well and dandy.
Yeah.
But for the next 26 years, the Eagles could be dominating the NFC East with the way things are going.
Yes, very much so. Bob Cooney, takeaway of the day. I know it's not going to be your anniversary.
The most miserable millennial I've ever known is Andrew Salchunas. So
can confirm. Sources confirm.
Yes. True. So I jotted down Joe and Chester's number, and I'm going to have Andrew talk to Joe and Chester, see if we can change that up
very
a little bit.
Nice. Trey, takeaway of the day.
We really didn't get a chance to get into it, but Kobe's jersey has been found.
Huh?
His high school jersey that he wore in Lower Merion.
Right, yeah.
It's been found in China. Somebody stole it on Super Bowl Sunday. They got into the high school or whatever, and they stole the jersey, and it's now been found in China.
Thank God.
Wow.
Yeah, so there you go.
Well, I feel good now. I feel good about things. My takeaway of the day is that don't forget my list of actresses. That it's three actresses, not the Impact Gear, not that famous if you're referred to as the one character you played, and the other lady from that other show that's not happening anymore. The real actresses are Jennifer Aniston, Glenn Close, Andrew Salchunas hugs Bob Cooney, and Betty White. Those are the three actresses. Yeah. Those are the famous actresses. There's nobody else.
Well, Lori Loughlin. We've learned to fall in love with her.
That's
Dirty
Aunt Becky.
Becky.
Oh, Aunt Becky.
Yes.
Okay.
You didn't know, though.
Going to jail.
Aunt Becky on the run in an orange prison jumper.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty nice. No more Full House. It's called Big House
now. You know what she's going to tell the judge? Have mercy. Nice. Stay tuned
for
Gargano.
You that one all day?
You did, right? I did. Stay tuned for Gargano and Martinez middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.